general, like, you know, audio possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's good to be back again, though.
Mm. Oh, now I remember what my pick was. Toy Story. I do.
Really?
No. I love my Iron Man cup.
You did pick Pokemon last,
dude. Like, you know, Pokemon is.
But I'm just saying, like, it's like there could be this slow descent that we're just not realizing.
Into like reading, it's right from Pokemon to reading DuckTales. Like, oh, Karl Barks was a comedic genius, man. And then I'm just reading Toy Story novelizations.
Then you're like picking The Floor is Lava. It's like, Sam, that's a kid's book.
Then I'm playing The Floor is Lava.
Yeah.
And then Goodnight Moon, the miniseries.
Sam, put the pots and pans away. This isn't Stomp.
Writing a Goodnight Moon miniseries.
Exactly.
Trying to pitch it to Brian Cunningham at Wizard World.
Come on, man. Welcome to the Metal Lander Podcast. I'm Metal Lander photographer, Alex Erdy. About to fuck up there. But I didn't. And you know what, guys? Guess what? We're back! Hey, guys! They were not doing it on Skype anymore!
Yay! And I'm back, too, the Metal Lander Music Man, Mike Gilbert.
You're not dead! Yay!
Yay! We were only fooling when we said he was dead.
Where were we?
He totally is.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, that's right. And I'm the man on the street, Sam Riddle.
Yeah. No, sitting next to a zombie, sitting next to a mild-mannered zombie, that's Music Man, Mike Gilbert.
Well, okay, I guess I won't say I'm undead. I would just say I'm dead. Like, you know, like in Dogma, how Chris Rock said, I'm not undead, I'm just dead. I'm not a zombie.
The mild-mannered Music Man is going to be trying out for Evil Dead the Musical. Well, let's just say that.
I'm a bit part demon.
My hands went bad.
And we're recording today in the Metal Lander Music Man's apartment.
Whee!
The abode.
We're sitting. You know, I'm not sitting with the two of them. Sadly, I just make this photo. I can't put my hand on, you know, Sam's knee or, you know, Mike's knee. I can just imagine it. Still so far away.
Yes.
I missed you guys.
Yeah. Miss you guys too. Yeah. And I definitely don't miss Skype.
God.
Or the quote unquote void.
How would you like that void? I guess you're trapped.
Okay.
Oh, let's not jinx it.
Yeah. Let's not tease anything. Let's not tease the sleeping tiger here.
Yeah.
But
there's a sad children's story that's connected to that.
So yeah, we're recording. Recording on Sunday. Usually when we're like, we need to start recording a little earlier to when the actually the comics are released, just so we can get it out faster.
Yeah, we'll have to
start picking better times.
One of these days, we'll have a topical.
Yeah,
podcast.
Maybe we should start discussing the comics that are coming out next week.
I don't know. I have an idea. Why don't the people who are listening to this call or write us an email or leave us a comment about what you would like to see?
Yeah,
that means you, Aaron Gold.
Aaron Gold.
No, not Aaron Gold. First of all, Andrew.
Yes, Andrew.
I love this description.
Friend of the podcast, Andrew Durso. We were talking to him earlier.
Can we dub him number one mild-mannered fan?
Yeah,
mild-mannered totally. Fan, Andrew Durso.
We were talking to him. He said. Regarding our podcast on Skype, that we're very much like Meg White's drumming in the White Stripes. That it's got a certain earnest amateurity to it that we don't really doesn't really sound like we know what we're doing.
We lack technical skill, but we make it up with enthusiasm.
With enthusiasm, I don't actually know how to play drum fills, but I've got very large biceps, and I'll go whackety 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 whack.
Just for the listeners, yeah. Sam mimes.
Drum motion.
He was air drumming there.
You gotta go around.
And for the listeners again, Mike was in the ape suit. Was in an ape suit recreating that really odd candy bar commercial with the ape playing the drums. I can feel it in the air tonight. If that was the candy bar.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Anyway.
But yeah, so for this week,
August 26th, 2009.
We lack wireless right now, and we're reading this off of my iPhone, so we're gonna be doing this a little differently. So we're gonna be passing it around, and
we apologize for the lack of speed.
Yeah, lack of speed, and we're gonna also be doing this by publisher as well. So the first up, we have Antarctic Press. They have How to Draw Superheroes. And that's $24.95. And after that, we have Unofficial Transformers. It's kind of a lipsy. I think it's the Unofficial Transformers Guide.
No. Sounds right.
Yeah, the Unofficial Transformers Recognition Guide. Because apparently you need to recognize your.
This one's a Decepticon. This one's an Autobot.
It's sort of like.
That one's just a Honda.
It's sort of like the geek guide to recognizing your saints.
Yeah, that's what it is.
The other one's How to Draw Superpowered Heroes, just so I have that correct. But the Unofficial Transformers Guide is $14.95.
And
I named my youngest Jazz.
Okay, next up.
After Jazz.
Next up from Ape Entertainment, we have Superhuman Resources Volume 1 Trade. Where are the prices on here? I don't see them.
We gotta click on it.
I'm gonna hit it, and it is $12.95. And ooh, that sounds interesting.
It's a really like that's gonna be. Wait, this are we doing the same week? Actually, check the week.
No, yeah, we're on the
right. Okay,
week.
Sorry.
And then I'll hit the next one because there's only a couple on here. From Boom Studios, we have Jennifer's Body hardcover for $24.99. It has a picture of some chick in a prom dress.
That's actually it's of a. They're using like it's one of those celebrity comics where it's just like let's put a celebrity in the comic where it's like
oh god the next one that needs attention. From we have also Muppet Show trade paperback for $9.99, which I'm probably gonna go pick up to read.
I've actually heard good things about the Muppet Show comic, so
it'll satisfy my inner child.
Mm-hmm.
And then next, next we have. The Toy Story trade paperback, The Mysterious Stranger, for $9.99. And just like Muppet Show, I may have to pick this up because, you know.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Now I'm thinking of a Toy Story Phantom Stranger crossover.
That'd be pretty dark.
I would buy the shit out of that.
So someone gets a the kid gets a Phantom Stranger action figure.
I'm the Phantom Stranger. I'm Woody! How you doing, Phantom?
There's a snake in my boot.
Where's that snake?
Alright, from DC Comics this week, we have The Red Circle, The Shield, one-shot by J. Michael Straczynski.
That's DC?
That is DC Comics. And
that's it? Or?
Wait, that's $2.99.
Okay. $2.99. Then we have... And also, so we're doing the... we're throwing around the like circle-wise for the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So Sam officially hasn't actually gotten a chance to really do his own. He will get to go immediately afterwards. But then we have Rain in Hell, written by Keith Giffen, 1999.
Ooh, interesting. Next, we have The Secret Six Unhinged trade paperback by Gail Simone for $14.99.
Who I'm a fan of just because she supports trade waiters like us.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm friends with her now on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And also, we have Showcase Presents Eclipso trade paperback for $9.99.
And then, Fantastic Comic of the Week, or the GTFO of the Week, Trinity Volume 2 trade paperback.
My stomach's allergic to
bad writing. $29.99.
My stomach's allergic to bad writing.
And we're just going to hand it back to Sam to do the next two publishers.
Quick before I kill.
All right. From DMP Publishing, we have Unsophisticated and Rude for Mature Readers.
Oh, of course. When we want kids to learn that.
Children need to.
Hiroto, a student at an all-boys school, listens as his childhood friend Satoshi confesses that he is falling in love with now.
Oh, making fun of ethnicities.
Common pastime.
My Asian roommates cannot listen to this now.
Well, it's okay if we attack every other ethnicity.
Okay, yeah. So we gotta work fast then. Any opening, guys? Come on.
From the Dable Brothers.
The Jewish, huh?
I can't tell what the title is.
If you click on the cover of the actual image itself, the cover will pop up.
Oh.
It's so
downloading.
Interesting.
I think this from the Dable Brothers, we have Patricia Briggs, Mercy Thompson, Homecoming hardcover for
$22.95. And Dark Horse, we have Gantz Volume 6 trade paperback, $12.95. Oh my goddess. Oh my goddess, guys. Volume 33, trade paperback.
You guys, this isn't gonna work because it's too many syllables.
$10.95.
ZOMG.
Savage Sword of Conan, Volume 6, trade paperback. $19.95.
That's what I think when I hear Conan.
Sounds like Rocky.
Adrian!
Basically. Okay. From Dynamite Comics, we have Borderline Volume 3 trade paperback for $19.99. Then, from IDW, we have Complete Transformers Arc trade paperback. Another Transformer.
That's good, just so we know what happens.
Yeah, because, if we don't know, we can look up the arc. For $29.99. Hmm. Next, we have we have Doctor Who. Trade paper, one-shot. Cold Bloody War.
That's a one-shot, okay.
Yeah. For $3.99, it's a one-shot.
Yeah.
And next we have... I guess we'll just do this one. Sergio Toppi. Trade paperback. Well, no, it's a hardcover. My mistake. I'm not familiar with this one, but it's something about Europeans.
that was European.
So they're sort of European. There's another ethnicity.
With their lisps.
Covered a lot of ground with that one. For $14.99.
My God.
Oh, wow. We have another Transformer. Transformers Best, the UK Omnibus.
Okay, guys, guess this. Imagine this. European Transformers immigrating to America. Transformers, robots in disguise. Transformers, trying to meet the American dream. There
we're
we go.
We're going to take you to Decepticons, but oh, it's tea time.
You're it's English.
Out.
Okie dokie.
For viewers, for listeners, Sam just said to and lifted his pinky out at the same time.
Coming out for Image Comics this week, we've got...
Yay, Image!
They're pictures.
Oh, no, it's... No, it's done again.
What happened?
It's like, I can't... I just can't read the,
Read... You bring the cover up?
It doesn't bring the cover up. Now why does it bring the cover up? Okay. For Image Comics this week, we have The Absurd Adventures of Archibald Aardvark. Volume 1.
Oh.
just the first volume of many absurd
adventures. What is the storyline for this?
Toast of Tinseltown, faded movie star Archibald Aardvark has been slowly going insane trying to solve the brutal murder of his brother.
That's something I think. Can we give that an award? Give that an award.
The Archibald Aardvark Award.
Like the unnecessary anthropomorphization mixed with a genre. Yeah, we're going to have Aardvark Noir.
I was going to say, you haven't given out a What the Fuck Award for a while.
Well, that's the Get the Fuck Out Award, I think it
goes. Despite the hard drinking, womanizing, and hallucinations. You should probably be reading this, people. It's $14.99.
Sure, I think we need to review this sometime.
We may have no choice.
Yeah. Next up, Frank Renzetta's Sorcerer. And there's multiple... Actually, this is this is a single issue. And so we're going to skip it. Because, yeah, there's a lot of Frank Renzetta Gesundheit. Yeah. Then we have Killer of Demons by Christopher Yost.
$12.99.
Mm-hmm. Next up.
Oh boy. Next up is what's this company? I've never heard of them. Marvel,
I think it's.
Yeah, it's
Marvel.
Okay. Marvel.
From Marvel Comics, the first thing we have up is Avengers Initiative hardcover premiere. For $24.99, containing the Initiative's issues 20 to 25, and the Avengers, the Initiative featuring Reptil, who I don't know, because I don't read the Initiative, so I don't
it's
know.
Actually, that is a kind of a sad one. The cover of is, the cover of it is,
Yellow Jacket and Wasp, and, you know, if you haven't read up on your Marvel...
Let's not, I guess we shouldn't spoil anything, but,
That's true, but we'll say something sad happened.
It's, like, this one issue where basically, kind of, he comes back and he's caught up on everything, and it's basically the whole thing takes place in a limo almost between him and Power Girl.
Power Girl's DC.
Yeah, Power Girl's DC. I knew I was fucking giving her the wrong name.
Spider-Woman?
Not Spider-Woman, Marvel Girl.
Marvel Girl.
Marvel Girl. And it's him and Marvel Girl, in the, limo, and it's, the sad... I'll have to give you guys the comic to read, because I still have it, so...
Dash cry.
Next for Marvel Comics, we have Cable, trade paperback, Waiting for the End of the World.
Oh, Cable and his preaching.
For $14.99.
So it's like they go real Samuel Beckett and starts
Yeah, that's why he needed Deadpool around to spice things up.
Yeah. Next up, Ghost Riders, Trials and Tribulations, trade paperback. $12.99.
Is that the one with the red Ghost Rider and the blue Ghost Rider fighting with each other because they're different colors?
No. I don't see it dramatically portrayed on the cover, so I can't say.
Oh, next up we have the ever-popular Immortal Iron Fist from 8th City hardcover for $24.99. I actually need to read up on my Iron Fist. I've always wanted to, but I never got around to it.
He's kind of extreme.
Oh, yeah, I know he's extreme in it. And I love that he's going to be in Ultimate Alliance, too. That's pretty badass. Yep, he's a
So is Blue Canary.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Lords of Avalon, Knight of Darkness.
That sounds like a metal band.
Knight of Darkness.
No, like Lords of Avalon. It sounds like, you know, the they play with the dark, like the
For $19.99.
I think I just inserted some Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, my voice hurts.
Yeah. Next up, we have Marvel Masterworks, The Incredible Hulk, Volume 1, trade paperback, for $24.99.
Hulk Classic.
Hulk Smash Beauty Classic.
Next up.
Okay, nostalgia.
Next up, we have... actually, what? So we have Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Collection, Volume 3, trade paperback, for... $29.99, and I have actually read some Ultimate X-Men, and I approve of it. I approve of it. Oh.
Wait, what? Is that your... Okay. Hmm? Yeah, okay, let's keep going. Keep going.
Oh, someone disagree with
hand,
me?
Hand over.
Oh, yeah, I know. Is there something bad? Something wrong?
No.
No, I just had a brain fart. That's all.
Yeah.
Next up. X-Force Cable Messiah War hardcover.
Again, he's preaching.
That sounds more like any manga than any manga that has ever been on the list. X-Force Cable Messiah War. Anyway, $39.99.
But I know Deadpool is in it because I remember seeing the cover. So
he probably made the same joke.
He better be.
Then we have X-Force Old Ghosts trade paperback for $14.99, and that is all of Marvel for this week.
Marvel.
I think you could probably play a Marvel drinking game in which you have to take a drink every time a character says the phrase "old ghosts." You'd probably have alcohol poisoning by the time you got.
All right. Well, next,
It's like taking shots watching King Kong for every time someone dies. All right.
We have the next publisher coming up now. So
next publisher is. From Top Shelf Comics, we have the complete Essex County, both hardcover and trade paperback. The hardcover is $49.95. That's a doozy. But if you're not comfortable with that one, you can purchase the trade paperback for $29.95. That's a big difference. Oh, and the next one looks cute. The next one?
First of all, also, that was done by Jeff Lemire, who is becoming really well-known in the comic world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so I kind of want to pick that up, or the Nobody, because his art and seems really interesting.
You think that's good?
Yeah, I know. Let's,
Johnny Boo, Volume 3, Happy Apples. Johnny Boo.
And who is that by?
James Kokoschka.
Kolchaka.
Kolchaka!
Monkey versus Robot.
I mostly know him
Can I read the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Johnny Boo has been eating a little too much ice cream, and now his muscles have gotten all floppy and droopy. Meanwhile, the ice cream monster has changed his ways and now has big, strong muscles thanks to his new favorite food. Apples. Terribly embarrassed by his own puny muscles, Johnny Boo sets out on a quest to find some happy apples that can give him strong, happy muscles. But it won't be easy, especially if the ice cream monster mistakes him for a delicious ice cream cone. For $9.95, you can pick up this epic story.
This kid has to be in some serious trouble if people are mistaking him for ice cream.
Well, look at him, I mean.
You have to just take a look at the guy. Look at him.
For God's sake.
His name is Johnny Boo, so I think he's... Which is kind of funny if he's supposed to be sort of like...
Sometimes I look in the mirror and I scare myself.
I took that course in high, like in college once, you know, that that weightlifting course. They called it like Quest to Happy Muscles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did
it. Really? Okay, I clearly didn't. Okay, from Udon Press.
Udon is like the noodle. I mean, Udon noodles.
Udon.
The Darkstalkers tribute for $39.99. Darkstalkers being the reference to the Capcom video game of the same title.
That's actually a manga, really. Darkstalkers. is actually
it says based on the Capcom video game.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know.
All those interesting characters.
It's about sexy vampires. Sexy vampire girls, not boys.
Yes, sexy vampire girls and the girl and the cat girl.
Yeah, and the cat girl.
Wee cat girl.
Oh god.
From Wildstorm.
So weird.
Okay,
about
we attack the furries. Okay.
Yay. From their ethnicity too. I'm really getting lost here. From Wildstorm, Authority. World's End, Volume 1, trade paperback for $17.99.
To be fair, though, the world is always ending when it's, like, in the Authority comics.
one of their infinite parallel dimensions is going to be ending every week.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft, Volume 1, trade paperback.
LFG,
and
guys, LFG.
But wait, there is more here.
Ooh.
There is the World of Warcraft, Volume 2, hardcover edition.
Ooh.
Written by Walter Simonson.
What has he done?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I just recognize.
But
he
must
sorry,
play
Mr.
World of Warcraft.
The Volume 1, you can buy the trade paperback for $15, and the Volume 2 hardcover is available for $20.
Next up, we have Alex's pick of the week.
You just placed this like last time too. It was like it just somehow came.
I just don't want to slip it in.
Yeah. We have other, which is basically there's no like general publisher, and then I'm not even sure if this is even.
You have to say it.
Alizar's Panty Peaks.
See, it's funny because he said panty.
That's the word of the week. Ah!
The great bondage and fetish illustrator Alizar is back, and this time he's looking where he's not supposed to. Take a brief break from the ties that bind. Alice's focus is on briefs. I don't think that's a comic. I think they just sort of had it on.
I beg to differ. I think that's exactly the type of comic that we should give you for your birthday.
Oh, that would be so funny. Awkward later in the long run.
Yeah.
Oh, very much.
An actual looking comic that, well, not something I would read readily, but it's called Amelia Rules. That's $9.99.
It's about Amelia.
Yeah, she rules. And quickly,
so.
Let's just quickly go through this. Amulet Volume 2, Stonekeeper's Curse. $9.99 as well. Seems like it's from Scholastic.
Oh no.
You got a lot of art books here, which is always annoying. Brahms Child Thief, hardcover, $26.99.
Oh no.
Wait, Brahms Child Thief?
Yeah.
Are they saying that Brahms stole children from the streets or something? That sounds fascinating.
Or maybe
award-winning artist Brahm takes us on a haunting look at the true world of Peter Pan in this, his first full-length novel. Oh, this is a novel. God damn it.
Oh, yeah, there might have been other novels in the mix there, too.
Yeah. Color of Heaven, Volume 3, which is apparently getting grave reviews from my friend the librarian. $16.99.
The librarian, spoken.
Exactly. We got some regular manga. Distant Neighborhood, Volume 2, $23.90. $23, wow.
That's expensive.
Yeah,
that's the most expensive manga I've ever heard of.
And we got Epic Chronicles of Hagar the Horrible. 1973 to 1974, hardcover.
No, so you can catch up on your Hagar the Horrible continuity.
Yeah, 1995. There was that year where, you know, Hagar wasn't sure if he should be horrible anymore, maybe just miserable, or...
or, you know...
Emotional.
Or, yeah. You know, malcontent.
Yeah. And so that's kind of a...
Hagar the Grumpy.
Yeah, I think it was an Eisner Award winner right there.
Hagar.
I remember like listening to an episode of the podcast I'm a fan of, Jordan Jesse Go, and they started talking about comic book mixing comic book characters like weekly comic book characters with people like that preach on the street corner, and like they came up with the phrase, Have you heard of the horrible news of Hagar? Have you heard the great news about Hagar the Horrible? Then we also have Family Secret. That's $9.99.
But everyone, you just ask your talk to your family, and everyone has a family secret.
Yeah. And I think that's about the Holocaust, so... Yeah. Yeah, Second World War.
Let's just not go there.
Yeah, let's not go any further.
We're in big enough to meet at one of
them. Yeah, then we have the Final Fantasy VII 10th Anniversary Ultimania Revised Edition.
I might want to get
that. I think it's like basically tells you things that you haven't had yet from Final Fantasy VII that you should go out and buy it.
That's and it'll probably have big glossy pictures of the...
Yeah. $37.52.
I'm Cloud and I'm sad.
Why are you sad, Cloud?
Because I just can't. I'm Sephiroth, and I'm gonna kill you and all your friends because you're sad.
Oh no, you're making me sadder.
Well, but that makes me happy because I'm sad all the time too.
Okay, moving on from this improvised scene
of Final Fantasy soap opera.
Yes, yeah. That's okay, but we should totally hang out.
Grown-ups Are Dumb, No Offense, by it's $8.99 by Alexa Kitchen, and this is interesting because it's a 10-year-old. She's apparently like this world's youngest comic artist.
And I really actually want to pick that up now.
Yeah,
it's, now I'm expecting more from it.
This is what the cover looks like. I mean,
I approve.
Okay, managed to get the actual art or work published.
Yeah.
Then we have another manga, Gurren Lagann. Gurren Lagann, Volume 2, $10.99. James Bond Omnibus, $14.95.
I was going to do a Sean Connery bit, but not right now.
Yeah, save it for later. Lenore Noogies, Color Edition, Hardcover. Man Eating Cow, Complete Works. All 13 Comics, $29.95. Something tick related.
That sounds something bizarre enough to read.
Yeah, Man Eating Cow.
Oh, okay.
That's bizarre. So it is.
Ah,
the tick.
Yeah, $29.95.
He looks just as puzzled as I am.
Yeah. Manga Kamini Shibaba, $35. Yeah, exactly.
What is going on with this?
Yeah, we're definitely not going to use the other.
Yeah.
Search $9.99. Another Holocaust comic. Let's move on. Stuffed $17.99. I just quickly did a quick scan of it. From the writer of The Colbert Report and the creator of Daria.
Oh, that's an interesting.
All right.
From the writer of The Colbert Report and the creator of Daria. Did not know that was a.
Really a collaborative.
Yeah. But Stuffed.
All right.
That's
$17.99.
That's talent.
Yeah.
You could call it that.
Things Undone, $12.95, sorry.
You're off by 4 cents.
God damn it, does that. Vietnam War hardcover, $19.95.
Nom.
Remember that? Remember when we just talked about that? Yeah. Remember Nom? Just commented about it. Western, $12.99. Damn it. Which it's like you, comic. Which is wand works? I'm not even getting like. I'm just.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to say, Alex is sitting across from the two of us, looking at his iPhone, and he's going nuts. We have no idea what he's looking at on there, but
we can
every time he sees a new interesting title or a new baffling title, his face just goes, "What?"
We're keeping a grimace count.
Yeah.
You're over quota, by the way.
Yeah, like, I grimace, Mike goes, aw, and,
Sam bitches.
Yeah, well... but that's everything for the week. That's everything for this week, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so now just to quickly discuss our picks, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you already have it in mind. If you want to go find it again, I think.
Yeah, I'll go find my pick.
I actually like that pick, too. I was definitely weren't something I was thinking about.
Okay, let me find my pick. There it is. My pick of the week was from Image Comics, Killer of Demons trade paperback by Christopher Yost and Scott Wegener. It's about this guy who's an accountant, and all of a sudden this angel tells him that he has to slay all the demons that are attacking the Earth.
Most of those demons are the office workers.
Are the office workers, people he hates, and things like that. So he's kind of, and then he goes into he's confused whether or not he's really a savior, or is he just gone insane?
Mm-hmm.
And just going on a killing spree. And I found that quite interesting. I'm like, you know what? I will definitely try to pick this
and the
up.
Art looks really interesting, because if you can actually check out the pre, but I'm not sure how fast it'll actually load up.
It loaded up pretty quick.
Oh, cool.
I mean, look at that. You have an accountant with a sword.
Nice.
Slaying other demons in accountant outfits. So, that's my pick. Three issues for $12.99, I'd definitely pick that up.
Yeah, if they were all four, like, and honestly. Like,
now I'm just picturing an angel coming down and commanding you to kill everybody. Do it, faggot!
Aren't you supposed to be nice?
You're supposed to be nice! I don't care.
I'm an angel. Fuck you. Alright, my pick for the week, which I actually just remembered as we were going through the picks tonight. Legit.
Yeah, and then like Mike was like, what am I missing?
What's going on, guys?
Oh.
Mike is not good at like understanding something and trying to escape
them. No, I knew something was going on, but I figured I'd just let it play out.
My pick for the week is the Ultimate X-Men Ultimate Collection, Volume 3, hardcover, coming out from Marvel Comics. This
Mark Millar writing, actually. I didn't realize
Mark
that.
Mark Millar writing.
Yeah.
That was, that's the last arc that he wrote on Ultimate X-Men before he left, and I think Brian K. Vaughan went on after.
Really?
I think he did like a little bit too.
He wasn't very long, but he did a little bit. But Ultimate Magneto comes back. We see how at some point in the book, Wolverine abandons Cyclops to die in a pit.
Nice.
And then we see
how Cyclops
manages to deal with that particular situation. There's a whole showdown, which is pretty badass.
Yeah,
then,
if you ever doubted Cyclops' manliness, you should read this.
Yeah, he is not... Ultimate Cyclops is no punk. And this is really where the... I thought the series started going downhill after Mark Millar went off it, which is... actually saying something.
Yeah.
I come to think of it.
Come on.
But
be nice.
I,
you know he can be good.
He keeps making me gotta hit him, though.
Not as much as Jeff Loeb, though.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have to...
Yeah, honestly, you're reading... It's not like you're reading this like his work in order or anything. It's not like it's like he's being bad currently. It's like...
No,
he's had... Like, every writer has, like, they're really just...
Miller's stuff on Ultimate X-Men was really good, and I have been attempting to collect it for a while.
So I think
I will pick up the Ultimate Collections. I've been picking up the Ultimate Spider-Man Ultimate Collections as well.
Yeah, those are like those are fantastic.
The Ultimate Collections are really the best editions of the Ultimate line, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That was my pick for the week.
Yeah, and I kind of like, because I'm on my phone currently using the app that, like, it has
to... Oh, yeah, you've got your pull list.
I have my whole pull list of things that, like, oh, this looks good. And, like... It's sort of things that, like, it's like, this looks interesting. I'm just sort of thinking about it. Like, of the things that I picked, it has a little actual price of, like, how much altogether would cost.
Oh, God.
It's like, not like I wouldn't buy, like, I probably wouldn't buy most of it. If you guys picked any of this, like, I would go to this next, or something like that. But altogether, $136.
That's a lot.
Not like I would buy
this
all.
That's a lot of trees.
Yeah.
But something, like, I'm just going to sort of talk about some things that I think sound interesting, though. You have the James Bond Omnibus, which is a James Bond comic of, like, all his movies together.
I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's $14.95.
But does James Bond's face change when the actor changes?
I don't know. It's like daily strips. It's like
wait, where'd he go? Oh, he's James Bond now.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also have Lenore Nuggies, the color edition hardcover, which is this is apparently a comic that was put out in 1997 by Roman Dirge, and it's sort of like the same vein of Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas or Emily the Strange, and it's finally being collected. It's like this is the first time it's being collected. And it's only like $17.95 and it's hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
So like it seems like it's an interesting thing. Like it's apparently a cult hit.
Huh. Ooh, cults.
Yeah, and then you also have the Complete Essex County, which I've already talked about. You know, $29.95. Definitely want to pick up something from them. And I love Killer Demons also. And then also Secret Six Unhinged seems like an interesting story. It's like sort of like it's a bad guy group.
Yeah.
And it's them it's them on the road as they're...
Like, Super Six Gone Wild!
Yeah. Yeah, they're on the road. They're going to learn some things. They're going to run from some, you know, dangerous killers. But they're going to learn about themselves and become better friends along the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Not really.
Oh, super
but it's $15 and it's 7 issues. So from Gail Simone, and so I'm gonna get that once I get the chance because I want to start reading some things from Gail Simone because I've gotta support the fact that she put out to the trades.
Trade waiters.
Yeah, because we're trade waiters.
Bring it back.
But then most of all, Superhuman Resources.
Oh yeah.
Volume 1, and this is from who's this from? Ape Entertainment. And I don't know who the writers are or anything. I mean, it's Ken Mark. I've never heard of him before. But this is it. The series everyone's been talking about. All in one place. Tim joins the HR department of the world's greatest super team. Needless to say, it doesn't go well for him.
Clearly.
Oh, they never do.
$12.95, and I'm not sure how many issues it actually is. But it just seems like perfect. It's really fitting because the wife of the host of Comic Club Live... I just found out when we were talking, like, when I was going through the pull list, that she's actually works in human resources, and I had to show it to her. And she was like, as excited as I was, like, this sounds great, like, because it's always fun to sort of read, like, just like maintenance, to sort of read a comic from the point of view of
somebody
who's normally in the background.
Yeah, I think it's always fun. It's like one of those odd comedy slice of life comics. And those are our picks for this week.
At last.
Yeah, that's what, what happened this week? I guess, you know, we have missed Mike for a while.
Yeah, I've been out, I had my teeth out, I was on Vicodin up to Wazoo, so...
We had to perform a school special to get, an after-school special to get him off the Vicodin afterwards.
Yeah.
It was badly acted, you know, so it helped.
But I'm here, I'm back, and, addicted.
No cravings at all.
No cravings, just kind of really mellowed out. It's like I've been in that movie Dazed and Confused for a week.
Hey, that's a good movie.
So you're covering, bands, so you're like, you have a lot of, to report on bands?
No, I'm just like, whoa, the entire time.
He's a lot like Spicoli from Fast Times.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
But I guess I'll do a quick. I guess the things that I read over the past week. Because I missed the webcomic special. I'll talk about the webcomics I did manage.
Yeah, but we're like, do we want to save that till after we finish?
Well, I can just be really quick. It's not.
Okay, if you want to.
Well, I read Octopus Pie from recommended by Sam, and I enjoyed that quite a lot. I just found it hysterical, and it's very well written. And it's like, I'm like, I could watch this on TV and really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's very episodic.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What else did I read?
I can get to the website as well if you need to, like...
I read the one that I recommended to you guys, but we didn't get around to that. I think you guys joked about, goblins.
Yeah.
Goblins through their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Did
you just pick it randomly? Because I mean,
it was
the way
just
you
a random pick. It was my random pick.
Oh, okay. I felt so bad. Like, I was just like, I don't really.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's like so occasionally funny.
Was that wasn't one that was on your bookmarks list or anything?
No, it was just something I needed to throw in because I knew I felt bad about not knowing my webcomics very well.
Oh.
So I just found something interesting and I'm like, oh, this seems
interesting. That explains a lot then. Okay.
It's like, did either of you guys ever read The Order of the Stick?
I know of it. I know what it is.
It's like, it's that kind of meta humor about Dungeons and Dragons and encounter levels and role playing, but instead of concentrating on a party of adventurers, it's concentrating on goblins and
what they do to try.
Fantasy tropes. I didn't really get very far in it.
Yeah, I could not
like,
really
you're,
get
if you're
into
a big
it.
Fan of D&D and stuff like that, I can imagine you.
But I feel like honestly, even if you are, you could. You could kind of get your D&D humor elsewhere. Like, the art was...
The art was subpar. Like, I wasn't crazy about it.
Yeah, I kind of, like, I could not, like...
But I had to throw something in that I knew that wouldn't be good that we could just, you know, say that wasn't good.
Okay. Like, I felt so guilty. I was just like... I was even saying to him, but, like, because you weren't there, just like, man, I kind of feel guilty doing this without Mike here because it's like, I don't want to, like...
I didn't like it either. But I said I was reading through things and I found something I really liked, which was Octopus Pine, something I really didn't like, and that was Goblins.
Yeah, anyway, let's go.
And you said you threw in Nothing Nice to Say.
Yeah, Nothing Nice to Say was a recommendation from Carolyn. Which was
okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's more of Carolyn's kind of thing. It's another little thing about it's basically like a bunch of issues about band humor and things like that. If you're not big on bands, you won't know what's going on.
Right,
just like me, I don't know what's going on half the time because I'm not that big on bands.
There is a strip that features the Sandman in there. It's like it's way back in the archives. It's like one,
and that's why we thought you
summer of 2002.
You suggested it.
No, that's why.
I thought it was like in a special place in your
heart. That was just a recommendation from Carolyn because I know it's very good and like it's quite popular amongst other web comics. So,
were those the only two you suggested? No, I can't remember.
Yeah, that was it.
No, I thought there was one more.
Yeah, it was.
But
one
I,
more,
but it wasn't
important. It wasn't good. I didn't like it. It was another one I didn't like.
It was like it was like hard to like it was kind of hard to find like where like to even start reading it because like they're trying to sell the. But here's actually the list of the comics that we did talk about last week. If you want to go over it, like scroll down.
What else I read? No, I didn't read that. I read Octopus Pie. Oh, I did read the Abominable. That was cute and adorable. And
wasn't it?
I enjoyed that. Where's the next one?
Isn't the art fantastic in that?
Mm-hmm. Very well done, too.
It is.
It's a simple comic. And I read Girls in Slingshots. I thought that was pretty funny, too. It's like, when I see, like, friends of mine from high school that watch, like, Sex and City, I'm like, I don't get what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but this sums it up everything a lot quicker and easier and more understandable. And like Sam was saying, like it's a good comic book about like the woman's world of like sex and going to bars and shit like that. And I enjoyed that too. Oh, and Cat Rackham, that just made me smile. That made me smile.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised that Sam didn't try doing it. Like reading it stoned. It's sort of like
it's just something you have to read when you're on something.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't recommend to anyone about this.
The Mild-Mannered Podcast would not even think about telling its listeners to get all sorts of fucked up and read with.
I just happened to be on medication because of my wisdom teeth and then reading this and I'm like, well, this is so funny. That's basically how I was.
And Sam just has roommates, just to smoke pot, and there's so much that he occasionally
happens. Has a pipe that's shaped like an elephant. I don't think there's anything.
I read it completely sober though. So,
so that's all I basically read. I
can't believe you didn't read Him Days because I thought you would love that because it's all video game humor.
I'll probably look that up too. I need to go find that.
Yeah.
No, I have no.
Hi, I'm Daisy. I keep doing that.
Him Daisy.
But that's all basically I've done. I mean, I just picked up Dissidia for Final Fantasy for my PSP.
We're gonna save the gaming discussion for next week though because we're gonna try and get a guest.
Okay.
So we gotta definitely plan. No, like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it tonight. Actually, can we move it back to tomorrow? Because I want to try and get a guest, and we've got to plan that.
Can we reveal who the guest is?
I'm not. I haven't. Or? I talked to him a while ago, but I haven't actually said like. Can you do it next week?
Just for safety, can we at least do it Sunday? Because I know
safety.
Well, I mean, because if I'm doing auditions for the shows this week, they're going to be running until at least Saturday.
Really?
All day, yeah. Because they all take forever.
Friday, even.
Even Friday.
Time Friday, though? I mean...
It's going to be, like, late night. But, like, unless you guys want to do, like, a late night version. Like
yeah, because he is... the guest I'm trying to get is a dad. He is a working adult, so... It's not like he's going to be doing it unless it's the weekend, anyway. Midday.
So, yeah, the weekend... I'll update you guys and let you know, like... We'll make a specific date at least by Wednesday because by that point I'll know what's
because going. I did pick up Arkham Asylum as well and
we can talk about that
and we want to talk about Kingdom Come which is next.
Yes,
that's right. That's our
and review coming you need week. To pick that up for me. I think
I've read it.
Oh, you've read it. Okay, so we've all read it then. Great.
Yeah, I've got that covered.
And then I can also talk about Super Mario Galaxy too, which I just said about.
Well, really. All right,
talk about Age of Mythology.
Yeah, I play that.
Yeah, me too.
Age of Mythology was badass.
So that's all I've done. So if we can move on to one of you guys, whoever wants to take the wheel.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's we're still talking about
we did this week.
What did you?
You guys moved into your respective apartments over here in University Plaza like days and days before I did. I wasn't allowed to move on back onto campus.
Such
until
a stupid rule, isn't
the,
it?
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to move back on until the 28th.
Which is when everyone else moves in.
When every single other person except for the freshmen move into dorms, so it's a mad dash to all move in. However, nobody was in my suite for until like 5 o'clock in the evening, and I got there at 10:30 in the morning. So I had the entire suite to myself to like pile all my shit on the couches and
not that I did
arrange my furniture just how I liked it without any regard for how my roommate would feel about that. But whatever, fuck him. He wasn't supposed to come in.
He'll be too stoned to notice.
He hasn't. My roommate has actually not slept in his bed as of this recording.
Is he still in there? You think
he might? He might actually be next door in one of his many confusing soap operatic.
Soap operatic.
I don't even know. This is going to be an interesting semester, I think. But that's mostly what I moved in. I've been trying to get around and
Are you in like a, just a 2-person room or
no? I've got a 6-person suite over there.
So wait, how do you?
What?
NCIW?
NCIW.
So you have 2 rooms with 3 people in each room?
3 rooms with 2 people in each room.
Oh, okay, good. At least it's... I've heard some horror stories. You had some suites. Like, it's just like...
No, that'd be...
one big room with, like, just 3 people in it.
No, there's some 5-person suites with 2 people and then 3 people. But, no, those are awful. All
right, cool.
But, yeah, that's pretty much it. I might play some Risk over there. I don't know. What have you been up to?
I kind of came on Monday and I was very bored and I didn't do that much. I basically like slowly started setting up my like room again, and I got a chance to just sort of read I read Alias. I played a lot of Arkham Asylum, but I won't talk about that. Picked up Munchkin, the board game. Munchkin Quest.
We have to play that.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying, like, you know, it's like you're so busy with theater, but yeah, definitely. And well, I also reread Booster Gold when I had the time, because I was just like, I want to reread Booster Gold, and I reread it last night, and just, it reminds me how much I really enjoyed the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Because after a while, it gets into the whole, like, the second half of Back to the Future 2. With, like,
that casino type,
versus, like, that sort of what begins to happen, and, like, later on. Not that it's not bad, but it's just sort of like, I kind of like it when it's just like, oh, we go to this one time in this issue, and then we go back.
Yeah,
and
yeah, there's a reason why I only watch, like, when I want to watch Back to the Future, I watch Back to the Future, and not the sequels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of, but it's good, and I love Booster Gold. He's a fantastic character, and I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, yeah, I bought, actually, this week, DMZ 2. Body of a Journalist, because after reading DMZ Volume 1 again, like, for the second time, it's just like, I need to read, like, Volume 2. Actually, it wasn't even that. I walked in to get Munchkin Quest and the Jupiter Games, and it was, like, the only trade that was, like, around. It was just sort of hanging on. It was on the wall. It was, like, there was nothing else. It was actually where the board games usually are, like, the board games are, where you kind of just, you can take it out, just sort of to play around in the store. It was just there. I was like, you guys still selling this, or... Alright, I'll buy it then as well. It's like, so well, like, there was no DMZ 1, just DMZ 2, alright? It was calling to me. Yeah?
Actually, I thought of, I have no idea why. This music note.
Okay.
Thanks to WHRW Binghamton, 90.5 FM, or WHRW.org.
Yeah.
I had to.
No way.
That's right.
I got a free sticker when I was tabling for them yesterday. I got a free... because they have tons of fucking stickers.
Yeah.
CDs from the area and everything. So I got a sticker for a band called One Day as a Lion. And I'm like, this is the most fascinating band name that I've ever heard. It is the singer from Rage Against the Machine paired with the drummer from the Mars Volta.
Alright.
But it's like, have you guys ever, like, listened to Rage Against the Machine?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, like, it's white boy rap, but good. Like, I don't know how you feel about rap.
I'm not a fan of rap in general,
yeah,
but
no, yeah.
I mean, the only rap I have listened to is MC Chris.
Oh, well, yeah, that's not even...
Yeah.
That's not close.
For geek rap.
Yeah.
I listen to comedic rap by like Bo Burnham, but that's
that's more piano though, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's piano rap.
But
that's, you know,
I don't know.
He's funny though.
I found their I found some of their music videos on YouTube after that, and I pretty much fell in love. So
the band name again?
The band name again is One Day as a Lion.
Hmm. Okay.
Apparently they have an album out that I need to find and possibly pirate.
Arr!
Yeah!
So someone was just, you know, one of those guys just reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and just really just had a dream where he became the lion.
I want to be Aslan.
Yeah, he just thought he was Aslan.
I want to be Jesus with a mane.
Hello and welcome to Masterpiece Comic Book Theater. I'm the Mal-Mannered Photographer, here to introduce the scene from Michael M. Bendis's Alias. Our actors today will be Usa Yamaguchi, performing as Jessica Jones, and Brianna Sakamoto, performing as Carol Danvers. I hope you enjoy.
So I said to him, I said, well, if that's true, shouldn't you shoot the webs out of your ass?
You said that to him?
Yeah, but this was a while ago, and Dunkin's and Donuts, he couldn't have been more than 17 when I said it.
Yeah, he seems like a good kid, but that costume, ugh.
Well, I'm hardly the one to talk about that.
Yours wasn't so bad.
It was so bad.
No.
As bad as your Farrakut, maybe.
Oh my god, that hurt.
Hey, Carol, listen. I never went Farrah.
But you were totally Flashdance.
Fuck Jennifer Beals and what she did to my youth. I look at some of those pictures and I say, man, was I giving off a slut signal or what?
And what is on the boy horizon these days?
There's a boy horizon? Wouldn't know.
Really? In your line of work, isn't there a plethora of meeting potential?
My line of work? All I meet are cheaters.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
I've done such stupid, stupid things with guys lately. Just a really pathetic mixture of needy and just stupid, like you wouldn't believe.
Were you going out with Luke Cage?
Oh my god.
Sorry.
Who told you that?
Grapevine.
There's a grapevine now?
There was always a grapevine.
Oh my god.
So that would be a big, huge, gigantic yes!
Cage and I are not going out.
Good.
Why?
You know.
No.
He's a total cape chaser. Like no one's business.
A what?
A cape chaser.
What? Like he...
likes to, you know, those with capes.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, just ask Jessica Drew.
Oh no.
And Tigra.
Ew.
And She-Hulk.
Seriously?
Totally.
Come on.
He absolutely is.
I tell you, I thought...
Absolutely.
I thought he was a good guy.
It has nothing to do with what I am talking about.
Oh, man.
Hey, I like guys with big shoulders. We all have our things.
Oh, man.
Don't worry about it.
I thought, wow, I misread that thing on so many levels. It really keeps coming back to bite me in the ass.
Sorry.
Not your fault.
I know. When I say I'm sorry means I'm sorry for you.
Come on.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
How was it?
Shush.
No, seriously.
Seriously? I was hammered. I have no fucking idea.
Liar.
I'm not.
Okay, don't tell me.
Please, cut me some slack. I'm still in shock from this cape-chasing thing, which I didn't even know was a concern.
Well, darling Jessica, you gotta keep an eye on the grapevine. But have no fear. I am going to find you a guy.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Here we go. Perfect. Right on the money. Scott Lang.
Where do I know that name?
He's such a cutie pie.
Where do I know that name?
He's got a great job.
Where do I know that name?
He's single.
Where do I know that name?
He's Ant-Man.
And that was Brianna and Usa performing a scene from Michael M. Bendis's Alias. And now, back to the podcast.
This week on the Mild-Mannered Podcast, we're going to be reviewing, for your pleasure, Alias from Marvel Max Comics, written by Brian Michael Bendis, with art by Michael Gatos.
Warning, explicit content.
Yeah, there is a sex scene between Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Oh, there's a sex scene. So, this is a comic about Jessica Jones, who used to be a superhero in the Marvel Universe, but is now a private investigator.
And I'm pretty sure, like, I'm not sure if she actually, like, yeah, I feel like it might have been one of those things, like, the Sentry, or sort of a...
Oh, you know, that she was, like, a superhero that everybody forgot about, mostly, or...
Well, like, not, like, they know her in the comic, but...
Yeah.
I feel like it might have been, like, the...
Like, that we don't really...
That she wasn't actually ever there, yeah. But we're gonna just sort of write her in, like,
yeah.
She was.
Oh, yeah, no, I see.
But it still works, I think. It's kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah. And, so you see all of Miss Jones's relationships with the Avengers and the various Marvel superheroes. And also, while she's also going around and solving the cases that she's been hired to.
Yeah, she's basically, she was a superhero. You really don't know much about her powers or anything. It's not really that big of a... because that's sort of like the... She doesn't care about that, which I think is a very interesting character.
Then, someone was like almost like ashamed of that she was a superhero.
Not even ashamed, but she just realized that it wasn't for her. I mean, and it's sort of... She decides instead that she wants to become a private eye.
Well, yeah, putting on tights and trying to go against Dr. Doom is a pretty tough thing to, you know, live with.
Yeah.
So, we're reviewing the big old omnibus edition, collecting Alias number 1 through 15, which you can pick up for $34.99.
Yeah, and also, it probably is going to be too late for that, but Midtown was having a sale till the 31st of this month.
Oh, so...
Yeah. For 40% off that, so...
Oh, wow. Jesus.
So, honestly, I'm going to suggest... Like, I got this for 25% off, actually, so...
Oh, nice.
Okay.
So, it's sort of like... It's one of those things, like, you know, it's like you could wait for a comic book sale to get it.
So, let's get into this. I wanted to know, first off, what did you guys think of the, really, the art and the overall, the look of the book?
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, definitely a certain thing where it's, like, all the covers are these really cool-looking kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Collages that
kind of art's amazing.
Yeah, that are referenced later on. Like, I would love to have, like, I'm not sure if Michael Gatos is doing the covers or something as well, but I would love to have posters of those, like, just like the back picture as well. Like,
yeah, there's the art on the back cover, and also a part of this this edition is in the very back. There's
there's this whole long...
There's Rebecca's Journal with a series of pieces of art by David Mack.
And also, there also is a very long... there's also a very long issue with... which I really did enjoy. It's sort of something that's kind of... As a kind of someone who reads a lot of theater... Where it's... Basically, J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, yep. I was just looking at that.
Yeah, and it's where it's all kind of...
That artwork, for that particular part, I actually really, really liked.
Is like that this, Mac as well?
I'm or? Not sure, because it's sort of like this... It is this really confused, like, you're not sure who it is, but... Let's see, because it might just be, actually...
But that's, like, my favorite part. Otherwise, like, I didn't dislike the artwork and the overall thing, but... I don't know, maybe I was asking for a little more from it.
Oh, well, actually, here's the thing, actually. The art is with Michael Gatos.
Yeah.
And then he also, with Bill Zinkwish, Bill Ghostbusters 2 for Sidekick.
Bill Sienkiewicz?
Huh? Yeah.
Bill Oh, yeah, Sienkiewicz. Wow.
And then you also have David Mack for Rebecca's Journal.
Right.
Which I think is the one, I think he's the one that was doing all the collages, maybe.
Yeah, I think that is.
And then you have Mark Bagley and Rodney Ramos doing the jewel sequences.
What?
So no, like with her and Thor, like that's in like the.
Yeah.
Because like that was interesting, actually.
Rodney Ramos,
yeah,
who was the inker for Transmetropolitan.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's actually weird. I liked the way that Geddes's art. Kind of, it looked as a static image.
Mm-hmm,
I think on the page it had a. This is a semi noir book.
Yeah.
But it kind of, you know, just the classic private eye stuff.
But it sort of looks like Powers almost, except a little more detailed.
It's got strange lines, actually. Strange lines are emphasized.
A lot of shadows.
Throws you off a lot. I like that. I didn't like it as a piece of comic art, as a piece of sequential art, because it didn't. The individual panels don't seem like there's any moving action in them. So that when somebody is actually being kicked in the testicles, as there happens to be a lot of in there. It just seems like somebody has their foot outstretched so that they're touching somebody's groin rather than kicking. So that, I have a feeling that he's talented. Gibbous is absolutely, he knows his craft, but I don't think that he's I don't think that this stuff is right for telling a story.
You know what though? I gotta say though, there are certain things like the fact that he doesn't pay that much attention to the backgrounds, and it's more on the faces and the characters itself. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think that's interesting
because this is in fact a mystery noir story. This isn't like a I'm gonna mention Alan Moore, Watchmen, where it's like everything you have to keep looking for in the background.
Oh well, you don't. Yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah, you don't have to, but it's like there's all sorts of references to the rest of the plot.
Yeah, and but I think it's interesting because then it's there to sort of keep you focused on kind of the characters, and I know you say there's not much motion, but I feel like what they're relying on more is faces.
Yeah, he definitely puts a lot of work into the facial art.
Yeah,
which I did like. I'm just like as Sam said, I don't like because I didn't like that it wasn't really the story wasn't being mm-hmm. wasn't
it wasn't action packed like yeah. you would hope like you know but
and yeah like. And most of the background pictures are very bland. Nothing's really going on, but yeah, that's what I did like. That's what I thought of the artwork. And yeah, no insult to his artwork. It's very very good. I like the shade work and everything. It's just, as Sam said, I think he'd be better off doing illustrations for maybe a book instead of stuff like this, because it's just not enough of it.
Yeah, I would be more than happy to see him do that. And I think that would really advance him. Just something that would give me more satisfaction for a work as a whole.
I feel like he would. I feel like he's good for mysteries.
Yeah, you could do that. And even here's another thing: if Michael Gatos were to write and pencil a whole thing by himself without dialogue,
mm-hmm.
if he were to do a short comic story like that, then I think that's not. But it's the addition of dialogue. In there, that dialogue and action in there kind of it didn't really mix.
Mm-hmm.
And on that topic, let's go to the other half of the team.
Yeah,
Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, we have reviewed a couple things from Brian Michael Bendis. Go over them again just for.
What did we do?
We reviewed House of M.
Yes.
And is that it?
I think we
just talked about him every now and again.
Yeah,
we legitimately reviewed
because it's tough to get away from Bendis.
Yeah, because the thing is, recently he has now become sort of Marvel's choice for writing anything.
He's the go-to guy,
and that's sort of become a controversial choice because whenever that happens, kind of the writer is forced to sort of stretch himself over a lot.
And he gets more restriction and more...
Well, not more restriction, but...
More eyes are on him.
More eyes are on him, and then, sometimes the work suffers because he's, has to do too many things.
And this is a more satisfying Bendis read because it's character-driven. And that is essentially what Bendis does, is a character book. Mm-hmm. And
there's no long, overflowing arc or anything.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting it to be this long arc about this one kind of mystery, but...
Yeah. His stuff on... his long-term stuff on Ultimate Spider-Man is all right.
Yeah.
That's, the beginning of the end for Bendis's really powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When he's free as he is in Alias to talk about one person's psychological situation and break them down piece by piece and then build them back up. That's when he can write a really moving story,
And by and large, he succeeds, I think.
Yeah, I love this. I love the series. I'm glad, you know. So I just bought it. Like,
no
kind of
complaints
like,
about his writing. His writing was great.
Should we talk about the different arcs, though? Because I think it's interesting, because there are some very different arcs in each one. Like, the first one, I think, is a very cool, like, idea for a story.
Mm-hmm.
She's, it's Chinatown?
Something like
that. She goes, she's hired to see if hubby's cheating on his wife.
No, basically, it's this girl is kind of worried about her, her sister.
Yeah,
she's basically in, just does the background work, right? Like, you know.
Does the background work, goes over, checks out, and gets an address, goes over and starts doing surveillance, and sees the sister, seems to be alive and well, receiving...
With the guy, you know.
Receiving a nice-looking male collar. Oh, there seems to be a love affair going on there. And the guy goes up on the roof and changes into Captain America.
Which is awesome. Like, how cool is that, I think?
It's pretty cool.
When you first see that in the panel, you're like...
And she also...
No.
And video camera, too.
Yeah.
She's taping it, like, just so she gets proof for the sister. She's not, like... It's not like she came, like, it's like...
That's what I respect them. You know, she goes from superior to like private eye. She knows her shit.
Yeah.
And when she proves it, like, right off the bat, she said, look, this isn't a fucking accident. People don't videotape Captain America's secret identity. Somebody set me up and wants me to do this.
And what happens, and like basically, like, after that, she comes back and the girl is murdered that she was supposed to be looking after.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to save it, like.
Yeah. Right there, that's where the intrigue starts to build.
And that's a great, like, fantastic.
That's when you're.
It's a good way. That is a good way to start a series.
Yeah,
and we were talking about when we were talking 100 Bullets about how it started with a personal story, a series of personal stories, and then got into a big overblown conspiracy. This starts with a big overblown conspiracy. But uses it to tell a small story.
Like, because I think it's like, it's really like, it's not really about Captain America. It's more about, like, what does she do now that she has this? Like,
and
you know,
thank God it's not about Captain America, because that's just,
enough stuff about him going on.
And I think it's really interesting, sort of like, kind of the appearances of other superheroes in this story.
Yeah, they have cameos every now and again.
And I think the cameos are really kind of fun, actually.
I did appreciate
Carol Danvers shows up a couple of times.
Yeah, Carol Danvers is the Sex and the City-esque friend of her.
And then, you know, we already spoke about, you know, the cameo of Luke Cage.
Oh, yeah, my. Luke Cage is, like, fantastic. Besides the sex, though, there is a moment, like, where basically...
Because Jessica Jones has a moment of weakness, and Luke Cage is there to catch her, and anyone would sleep with Luke Cage.
Okay, yeah.
If Luke Cage was a real person, everyone on Earth would sleep with him.
And it's really funny because, like, afterwards they have this sort of the not makeup sex, but just a makeup scene where she's like, like, they're just sort of angry at each other. Like, it's great because, like, Carol Danvers is a great, like, superhero gossip is the funniest thing to think about. Like, the word cape chaser is mentioned.
It's a cape chaser. I'm honestly a little hesitant about that.
Really?
Because there's, sometimes that's all right. I mean, logically, when superhero continuity gets away from the actual book a little bit. But when superhero continuity progresses, logically, when you have teams and everybody starts to get to know each other, people refer to each other and they, like, meet up after when they're not in the tights and everything, and there's a personal relationship going on. But then sometimes you get to the point where it's like that's what propels the book rather than the fact that these people are fucking superheroes.
Yeah.
Rather, instead of that, you have like
their personal lives.
But it's all about that and then them dressing up in tight clothing and going out and punching.
But I don't think I don't think it is about that at all. I think it's just, I feel like it's just sort of a little joke. It's like a very funny joke.
No, I agree. But it's just like, that's like, it straddles the line. I think for me,
it gets close
up there. I didn't have a problem with it in that, but this.
I felt like it was kind of realistic because honestly, like any fucking club, like in like school club, like we're college guys, so like WW, so much fucking station cest, you know, the newspaper.
yeah,
It's in every department.
Yeah, every you know, club or every place you work, you know, it's like you're gonna see those people every day, and you only get to see those people usually. It's sort of.
Mm-hmm.
There was I actually should bring this up because we once again Andrew Dusso, mild mannered fan, brought up the there's a common complaint that Bendis writes mostly the same character. Mostly the same voice or style of speaking.
Yeah.
I have to go back and look at some of his writing and characters.
I definitely feel like the kind of the whole, like, I'm in over my head character, like, of Jessica Jones. When he was writing Mighty Avengers, Marvel Girl was actually sort of like, you know, it's like, Iron Man's like, I'm gonna give you the position of, like, being the head of the Avengers because I need you to do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Marvel Girl's just like, I'm in over, like, you know, sort of the same, like, how can I do this? Like,
I can't. I'm lost. Yeah.
And I definitely can understand that comment, but, you know, honestly, if you don't read too much of Bendis at once, I think that's sort of the best way to handle it.
There's a, some of the stranger characters have their own voice. Like, there's a wife of someone. At the end of the arc, you're still not sure whose wife she is.
Yeah.
Who has a very, very distinct personality in her voice, even if nothing in the dialogue really betrays it. But she's got a sort of earnest feel to her.
Can we also talk? I think we'll also discuss the other arcs as well, because we just started with Captain America. Because,
yeah.
I think you have also another story where, like, she is also the wife of Rick Jones.
Yeah, there's
comes to ask if
Rick,
she can find him.
Rick Jones' wife comes. Rick Jones is missing. You must find him.
Yes.
Yep.
And we're not going to spoil anything more than in that Rick Jones.
Yeah, that one you can't really give a much. You say give away something, you're going to give away the whole thing with that one. That's tough.
Yeah, but I think the name of the comic is Alias, and I think most of all these arcs was really focused on the whole topic of. What does it mean to have an alias? What does it mean to be, like, you know, kind of...
Live a double life.
Live this double life. Like, because then, after the Rick Jones, you have her trying to find out who Spider-Man is.
Because J. Jonah James has yet to figure it out.
Yeah.
Now, that's... the whole thematic aspect of the book is an interesting one to take in a private eye book, I think. It's all about identity.
Mm-hmm.
And in one's self, and what is your pure self?
And I think it was really interesting because it sort of came at the end where she finally had the date with Scott Lang, the Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And it was this fantastic sort of like kind of thing where they're just at dinner and they're having a discussion. It's like, thank you for not asking me why I gave up being a superhero, and like they have a sort of discussion where it's just like. We both know each other as superheroes. Let's kind of actually...
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
I'm not sure... This is... The first 15 issues is over a year. Coming out of single issue. I wasn't... Like, reading it all in one go, you can read this in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so that's like... I'm just not sure. More could have been done with that theme. If you're gonna just
There is another volume as well.
I mean, no, there is another volume. But the fact that a big sort of I'm trying to think of what
you like
how
to
say this. I'll flip through and see if it can jog my mind here a little bit.
And then also besides the Rick Jones, you also have her being hired to search for a missing girl.
Yeah, but this is all and her the name of her private eye company is Alias Investigations, which is where the title comes from.
She came out even before. Supposedly, she came out even before the Civil War kind of story arc.
I'm just puzzled as to why things are moving slowly in this book, and I'm not sure that it's a strong choice because I really wanted
to move like kind of like
Because there's such a strong possibility for a huge story about Jessica alone, sort of despairing as she kind of does, mm-hmm. About what makes her hurt. And her relationships are some of the most fucked up things imaginable. She has no money.
I love the calls to her mom.
Yeah, there's more to explore in that. And I get moving the plot along. I suppose must take first precedent. When you have a new title coming out. So I'm assuming that more from Jessica's personal is coming later on in the series. But that's what I really wanted out of this book, was really for Bendis to tackle the theme that he came here to tackle, which is identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen more than allusions to that theme.
I felt they covered a lot of it. Kind of with the kind of just not to spoil too much of what happens to the with the missing girl, but basically like the kids, like she kind of goes to the school to like talk to the kids, and like all the kids kind of say like, oh, she said she was a mutant.
Yeah,
and like that's sort of like she said she was a mutant, and the priest is sort of preaching like mutants are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of came out as a mutant, which is kind of interesting because it's sort of like the equivalent of coming out as being gay or something in the school. But the fact is, like,
yeah, the Rick Jones arc, there's a lot more to that.
Yeah, there is. We're not
even more willing to reveal.
Yeah. Well, even like metaphorically,
mm-hmm.
there is a lot of content in that, but I don't know. Surrounding that was sort of bare thematically in my
I thought it was fantastic actually because
I had no problem with it as mystery stories.
I thought it was fantastic as like kind of invest, like kind of just discussing the whole idea of like what is someone's identity like.
I didn't come away with as much from it. I enjoyed it enough.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it enough. Yeah, it kept me going. The writing, like I said, the writing was great,
mm-hmm.
for a lot of the arcs. So that's what kept me going. I kind of overcame the the small complaints I had with the artwork. But so is that what everyone has to say about it? Do we want to give it a final
thumbs?
Final thumbs.
Oh, I hate the thumbs. I liked it. I mean, I say pick it up. That's what I'm not going to give thumbs.
Oh,
if you want to give thumbs, though, go ahead. I mean,
I'll take your thumbs.
He's too good for thumbs.
I got the hands now.
Okay, so if we'll go without thumbs, and I guess I'll say, if you're a fan of good, like of Brian Michael Bendis's writing, this is some good stuff from him. I would pick that up. But as I said,
even if you're not a fan, I think it's a great intro. If you haven't read anything by Bendis, because I think Bendis is like
this doesn't have what has been come to. Come to be known as Bendis speak in it. It doesn't have anybody repeating themselves really.
And this is like kind of Bendis was like originally he was Powers, like he was like kind of he was doing kind of pulp, kind of not like kind of pulp noir kind of crime novels.
Yeah, and Torso
exactly. Like
that was great.
And I gotta still read that. And From Hell, I heard good things about as well.
From Hell's Own.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
but no, this is like him doing like. That kind of treatment to the Marvel Universe, and if you haven't read anything, I would say definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, so that's what I said. I guess so, yeah, because like it's a good intro to Brian Michael Bendis, or even if you are not a fan, it's very 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 vintage.
It's not what you would expect. Like
you don't think much of it at first. Like if you're not impressed by the cover.
If you read Secret Invasion and you're like or like kind of any of his current like major arcs, and perhaps you didn't come away like satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like that.
This Bendis on a small scale, and it's a lot better than.
Yeah.
He's not as stretched out as he was with Secret Invasion.
I say personally, I want to get this in the library or read it for free somehow first and see if it goes down. If nothing else, I would definitely want to get the Rick Jones single issues,
yeah.
Maybe. Because that was what I liked best, really. But this was satisfying,
mm-hmm.
overall. I did like it.
Mm-hmm. I honestly enjoyed the fact that it was an omnibus. I mean, there are like 13 volumes of it, like,
oh god,
that aren't the omnibus.
Yeah. And then it's just tough to track that shit down.
Well, actually, no. You can get the volumes pretty easily. Like, at Midtown,
oh.
I've been able to.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. If you can find that.
And online too. I mean.
I'm just used to having. I don't have any big dealers near me,
yeah.
So I have to.
Amazon is the best way to go, really.
But that almost felt like cheating to me, you know.
Really?
I like to hunt them down in person.
It is fun, but I mean, also they are cheaper, much cheaper online as well.
No, that's very true.
But yeah, that is it for this week's episode.
Yep.
It's come to a close.
Yeah.
We thank you once again for listening. And a reminder, if we're still figuring out our schedule, what direction we want to take the podcast in this, now that we're all together again.
If we are going to do that, if we are going to use my iPhone, because honestly, I can get the week ahead anyway. I know, like, iFanboy, you can't get the week ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But with my iPhone, I can, like.
So we can, we're willing to format ourselves for you.
Yeah, we could do the whole, like, you know.
Please give us your opinions.
Like, we can do a whole podcast where we just do, like, this, like, last week's and then next week's, just to sort of
mm-hmm.
catch up.
Mm, yeah.
We can just make it kind of like, we could focus a lot more on that and then just do our review as well.
So, but until then, we look forward to your comments and everything. And I'm the mild-mannered man on the street saying so long.
I'm the mild-mannered music man saying I'm not on Vicodin anymore, and I'm glad, and I will see you again.
I am the mild-mannered photographer saying Avita, saying goodbye.
And we'll see you next week here on the Mild Mannered Podcast.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, birdie.
So long.
Farewell.
Ow. Uh-huh, yeah. Known a few guys who thought they were pretty smart, but you got being right down to an art. You think you're a genius, you drive me off the wall. You're a regular original, know-it-all. Oh, oh, you think you're special. Oh, oh, you think you're something else. Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me much. So you got the brains, but have you got the touch? Now don't get me wrong, yeah, I think you're all right. But that won't keep you warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. I never knew a guy who carried a mirror in his pocket and a comb up his sleeve, just in case, and all that extra cold gel in your hair on a locket, cause heaven forbid it should fall out of place. Oh, oh, you think you're special. Oh, oh, you think you're something else. Okay, so you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. So you got the looks, but have you got the touch? Now don't get me wrong, yeah, I think you're all right. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. You're one of those guys who likes to shine his machine. You make me take off my shoes before you let me get in. I can't believe you kissed your car goodnight. Now come on, baby, tell me. You must be joking, right? Oh, oh, you think you're special? Oh, oh, you think you're something else? Okay, so you got a car. That don't impress me much. So you got the moves, but have you got the touch? Now don't get me wrong, yeah, I think you're all right. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. Oh, oh yeah, you think you're cool. that don't impress me much. Okay, so what do you think? You're Elvis or something? Whatever.